Dresd's dearest friends, to the companions of the hall, and you were among that group. Farewell, my friend, and know that I once and ever loved you, and will never forget you. She walked to the pond, right into the water, and embraced Wulfgar warmly and lovingly, and kissed him on the cheek. Warrior's Rest will be greater with Wulfgar, son of Beornagar, who too awaits your arrival. She walked out as Brunner and Regis moved to similarly embrace the barbarian. Regis came back from the pond eagerly, Catti Bree noted, but Brunner glanced back many times as he moved to join the other two. With a final wave to Wulfgar, the three friends moved off into the forest, traveling a path that would take them to where they could not know. Up to his knees in the water, Wulfgar watched them go. He allowed himself to reminisce about those years he had spent beside Brunner and the others, the three decades, the prime of his life. Good years, he decided, among good friends. He turned back to the water and noted his own reflection in the pool, dancing over the ripples his movement had caused. He looked like a young man once more, the way he had looked when he had walked the road of wild adventures beside Drizzt and the others. He wondered if he would keep this appearance in Warrior's Rest, and if his family would appear in their finest hour. And what of his father, Beornagar, whom he had never known as a young man? Wulfgar stepped deeper, slipping under the waves. Chapter 4 Son of the Line. The Year of the Reborn Hero, 1463 DR, Citadel Felbar.
Sure on that winter's in me old bones, King Emerus Warcrown said to Parson Glaive, his friend and adviser.
King Emerus stretched his arms wide, his muscular shoulders flexing and bulging. He was past his 200th birthday by many years, but still possessed a physique that would make a 50-year-old jealous, and few of any age would wish to engage in combat with this proud old shield dwarf. He walked to the side of the room and grasped a large log in just one hand, easily hoisting it in his powerful grip and tossing it onto the flames.
"Aye, but she's a rough one,"
agreed Parson Glaive, the principal cleric in Citadel Felbar, leader of the church, and the dwarf Emerus had recently appointed as steward-in-waiting should anything ill befall the king.
"Snow's piled high around the West Rune Gate. I've set a horde of shovelers to work, cleaning it afore the next caravan rolls through."
"Won't be rolling any time soon," Emerus said with a belly laugh. "Sledding, maybe, but not rolling."
"Aye," said his black-bearded, bald-headed friend, and he joined in the laughter.
For the dwarves of Citadel Felbar, the turn of 1463 had brought with it a welcomed respite from the constant conflicts, orcs and highwaymen and other such annoyances that had plagued the area throughout the previous year. Hammer, the first month, had been quite frigid, allowing little melt from the ending snows of 1462, and the second month, aptly named the Claw of Winter, had come in with a roar, dumping heavy snowfalls across the Silver Marches. Parson Glaive's description of the situation at the Rune Gate was not an exaggeration, not in the least. Emerus Warcrown clapped his hands together to get the wood chips and dirt from them, then ran them through his great beard, more gray than yellow now, but still as thick as any beard any dwarf had ever worn.
"Can't seem to get the chill from me old bones this day," he said,
and he tossed his friend an exaggerated wink.
"Bit of brandy might be needed."
"Aye, a good bit,"
Parson Glaive happily replied. Emerus went for his private stock, set in a sturdy, decorated cabinet to the side of the comfortable room. He had just grasped the most decorated bottle of all, a thin-necked but wide-bodied flask of Mirabar's best brandy, when the door of his private chamber burst open with a loud bang. Emerus Warcrown dropped the bottle and cried out,
"What?"
and only caught the bottle again as it crashed against the cabinet shelf, fortunately without breaking.
"What?"
the dwarf king cried again,
turning to the door to see a muscular, wild-eyed warrior dwarf jumping around and waving his arms, his face as red as his fiery beard. A myriad of terrible scenarios rushed through the king's thoughts as he considered the newcomer, Reginald Roundshield, or R.R. as he was more commonly known, Citadel Felbar's captain of the guard. But those imagined catastrophes faded away as Emerus calmed and considered R.R. more carefully, particularly the red-bearded dwarf's supreme grin.
"What do ye know?" Emerus demanded.
"A son, me king," Reginald answered.
"What ho!" cried Parson Glaive. "What ho! But I'll be blessing that lad in the name of Clangadin, or R.R.'s sure to be whining."
"Clangadin's the choice," Reginald confirmed. "Son of the captain!"
"Son of the line!"
Emerus Warcrown agreed, and he set three large cups out and began pouring the celebratory brandy, liberally so.
"Me da was the captain, me grand-da was the captain, and his da afore him," Reginald said proudly, "and so's me son to be."
"Son of the son of the son of the son of a captain, then,"
Parson Glaive congratulated, taking his cup from Emerus and hoisting it immediately in toast.
"A big strappin' one,"
Reginald told the others, tapping their glasses hard.
"And he's full of fight already, I tell ye."
"Could no be any other way,"
Emerus Warcrown agreed.
"Could no be any other way."
"And what's his name to be, same as your own, then?"
"Aye, both halves, as me da and his da and his da and his da."
"A little R.R., then,"
the King of Felbar proclaimed, lifting his brandy for another toast, but then he reconsidered and pulled it back down. Reginald Roundshield and Parson Glaive looked at him curiously.
"Got Buster?"
Emerus Warcrown asked slyly, referring to that most brutal and potent of dwarven beverages.
"What else be fitting for the birth of a Roundshield?"
Parson Glaive replied. The king nodded and looked at his guard commander somberly.
"You just make sure that meself's about when you're forgiving little R.R. his first sip of the gutbuster," he said. "Ah, but I'm wanting to see the look on the tyke's face."
"It'll be a look wanting more,"
Reginald boasted, and the three laughed again as King Emerus went for his private stash of the potent liquid. He wasn't prepared for this. How could anyone be properly prepared for this? Brunner Battlehammer, twice king of Mithril Hall, lay in a cradle in a dark room in Citadel Felbar, his baby arms waving, his baby legs kicking, and little of that in his control. It was all too strange, all too weird. He could feel his limbs, was aware of his body, but only vaguely, distantly, as if it was not